It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, Connie Stample is here with us now to teach us. Connie, welcome. What's today's theme?
Well, we're in Genesis 30, verses 1 to 24, and we're going to learn more about Jacob's family, his children.
All right. Well, I am going to read the passages, and then Connie will teach, and it starts this way in verse 1. When Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, "Give me children, or I shall die." Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Then she said, "Here's my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her. And as Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son, then Rachel said, "God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore, she called his name Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "With mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali.
Thank you, Amy. Here we have the initial part of Jacob's family being built up, but we're seeing that it's really happening through the strife between these two sisters that are both married to Jacob, Leah and then Rachel. We knew at the end of, when we were last together, end of Genesis chapter 29, that Leah had four sons, but then she stopped bearing children. And now Rachel is trying to compete with her sister, and she's upset because she's barren. And we understand throughout the scripture, it tells us God is the one who gives life. And so God is using this circumstance in this family's life for his purposes. But we find that Rachel is envious of Leah, and then she's also demanding, "Jacob, give me children or I shall die." And Jacob rightly really is angry, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" And he understands God's the one who gives children. But he's not like his father Isaac, who prayed for his barren wife Rebekah, and then Rebekah conceived and had those two twins. He's a little bit more like Abraham here, because he complies with what Rachel comes up with. And this is a scheme we've seen before. Remember when Sarah took Hagar, her handmaid, and had a child, supposedly Ishmael, through Hagar to be Abraham's heir, and that didn't work out because of the conflict between Hagar and Sarah. But anyway, this is what Rachel's doing. She's taking her servant and saying, "Okay, have a child with my servant." And this was actually something that was done in that day. And Rachel actually says that, "Here's my servant, go into her that she may give birth on my behalf." And literally what happened is the mistress would actually, in a sense, own the child, or it would be her child. And Rachel's saying then that I'm going to be built up, or I'm going to have children through her. And so she's going to have a surrogate, or she's going to have a substitute mom, but she's going to claim these children. So this is what happens. Jacob goes ahead and does it, and then we find out that Rachel's the one who names these two sons. And it speaks to, again, this conflict with her sister, because she names the first one Dan, which means judgment or vindication. And so she's saying that God is now putting her in the right. And then the second son, she names Naphtali, which means wrestling. And so she's saying, "Okay, I've wrestled with my sister, and now I'm winning because I'm having children." And what a situation. But again, God is working in and through it. So we're going to go on now and read what Leah's response was to this contest.
All right, picking it up in verse 9. When Leah saw that she had ceased bearing children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, "Good fortune has come." So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and Leah said, "Happy am I, for women have called me happy." So she named his name Asher.
And so we find Leah doing the same thing that Rachel did. Leah, for the moment, has stopped bearing children, and so she gets the same idea as Rachel, and she takes her handmaid and gives him to Jacob as a wife. And so two sons are born, and again, Leah names those sons, and one is Gad, meaning good fortune, and the second one is Asher, meaning happy. And so she's celebrating the birth of these sons. We've got more to the story, though.
All right, picking it up in 14. In the days of wheat and harvest, Reuben went out and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" Rachel said, "Then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment, so now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons." So she called his name Zebulon. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah.
Yes, and so we have more of this conflict between the sisters going on. And we have this episode where Reuben, at probably about age 5 or 6, finds something called mandrakes in the field. And apparently they were thought to stimulate fertility. We don't know for sure, but he brought them home to his mother, Leah, and Rachel really, really, really wants them. And so she barters a night of Jacob's time and affection for Leah for these mandrakes, because Rachel wants children and Leah wants Jacob again to love her and to be with her and all. And we find that because of Jacob then coming back to Leah, God listens to Leah's prayer and Leah has more children. And she names those children again based on what's been going on in the family. And we find that the first son, Issachar, is related to the word for wages or hire. And so she's acknowledging that she's kind of bought Jacob's time with her. And then we find the second son then is called Zebulun, and it has to do with honor. And so she again is hoping that Jacob will love and honor her because she's borne him six sons. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we find she bears a daughter, Dinah. And Dinah actually is related to that word for Dan, judgment. And so Dinah's going to be important in a couple chapters. We'll be talking about her again. But she's the only one of Jacob's daughters whom we have the name for. So she's important. Going on, though, we are going to find out that there's one more little element in this story of another child born to Jacob when he lived with Laban.
All right, and this is verse 22 starting there. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph, saying, "May the Lord add to me another son."
All right, and so here we find finally that Rachel is appealing to God. And she's turning to God because of her barrenness. And this is after about 7 years of marriage. And finally, God remembers her, and he does give her a son. And this son is named Joseph, which means really may he add, because Rachel's already asking for another son after this first son. But also, it also has a sound like taken away. And so Rachel's saying, God has finally taken away this reproach of barrenness because he has blessed me with a son. Considering this whole episode in this first part of chapter 30, we just have God working through conflict and manipulation in Jacob's family. But he's building up these 12 tribes of Israel, which will be the ones that are going to be his people. And we already know that Jesus Christ is going to come from the tribe of Judah. And interestingly, how God works through the mess of lives. And here we've got two women in conflict and competing with one another. But God is learning and growing them, because we see God listening and we also see them praying. So I want you to consider, truly, as you go through the lesson, think about how God might be working in your life through difficult episodes in conflict. Anyway, that is today's lesson in Genesis. And you can find more in the notes on naomistable.com.